Greetings from Long Island, where every highway is a sunrise. It's time for Dave's Gone By, an hour of comedy, talk, and music brought to you by Total Theater, with your host, Dave Lefkowitz. You've never heard anything like it, so sit back, relax, squeal if you must. Here's the host of Dave's Gone By, Dave!
Tropical hot dog night! Like two flamingos in a fruit fight!
Well, there goes the Daverhood. Welcome, everybody, on this July 23rd, 2006, to the 181st episode of Dave's Gone By. Now, if you've been listening, and I know you have, every single week since the very first program, you know that every program is a little bit different. We do comedy, talk radio, music, interviews, extra views, all different stuff, and sometimes it's just the comedy, sometimes it's mostly music, sometimes we get a little bit political, although that isn't terribly usual, unless we're doing it in kind of a comedy bit. I'm not any kind of political pundit or so savvy about the inner workings of politics or the various sociological and anthropological structures of political systems. I don't know, really, I just know what I've been brought up with. Or what I've been taught, per se, or what I've been taught to forget. So, I try not to go there, but sometimes I have to. And sometimes, you know, with all that's going on, it's kind of weird to turn away and not go and talk about everything that's been happening and all the things that the media is saying and the people are saying. So I want to put in my 2 cents, or my 2 shekels, as it were, about what's going on in the Middle East last week and certainly this week and everything that's happening there. So, that will be the main part of this Dave's Gone By. It's going to be a little bit of an MSNBC kind of Fox sort of a thing. Usually it's going to be closer to MSNBC, but when you hear what I'm going to say, you might gasp a little bit and go, whoa, this is a little closer to Fox for once. But I'll put that aside for just a couple of moments while I explain a couple of other things about this program. First of all, yes, we've been on the air since October of 2002. Proud to be here on AM 1240 WGBB in Freeport, New York. And live streaming on the web at am1240wgbb.com. Now, the stream should be working. They've been having some trouble with the computers. They're rejiggering things, and I hear they're even getting, at some point in a few weeks, God willing, a new and rejiggered website, which would be pretty amazing, since there are things on the old one that they haven't updated since, about 1928. So it would be kind of nice to have a new site that will also be streaming, but also have an actual schedule that really is what's on the air, at least, you know, from one week to the other, because things do tend to change here. But until then, we are having some difficulty with the streaming. So, seems to be working now, but if it's not, might want to give me a call or give the station a call at some time over the next day or two and let them know, because it just involves a little bit of kicking the computer and bashing it with a hammer, and that tends to fix things pretty quickly. Speaking of fixing things quickly, actually, that segue doesn't work at all, so I will just go with a basic thank you to the sponsors of this program. They're wonderful. They're Hewlett Minuteman Press, the Copy Kings of Broadway in Hewlett, Long Island, on the South Shore. 10% off for Dave's Gone By listeners. You'll hear more about them. Performing Arts Insider Theater Magazine. It's the Bible of Broadway. Now, Broadway and Off-Broadway are kind of quiet right now. There's only one Broadway show. No, two that are going to be opening in August. You've got Martin Short coming up, and also kind of a spoofy, campy duo called Kiki and Herb that are sneaking in there for a couple of weeks. But that's about it. September, though, is when it starts to get rolling, and certainly into October. So that's about the time you're going to want to get yourself a copy of Performing Arts Insider every single month. It tells you everything you need to know about Broadway, off-off-Broadway cabaret, off-Broadway dance, regional theater when there's room. It's a pretty neat magazine, and it's been around for something like 63 years. So find out more about it at PerformingArtsInsider.com. And also, Mortgages Rock mortgagesrock.com, our other great sponsor. Thank you to them. Now, mortgagesrock.com is a website, and it tells you what you need to know about getting mortgages. Not so much in the sense of you want to buy a house, you want to do something, and get a mortgage. Mortgagesrock.com teaches you how to help other people finance their homes, or finance a second home, or fixer-uppers, or getting a college loan, or just a loan to pay off some bills. What you do is, you know, you go out, the friends, your relatives, people you know who want to be clients and need to get loans, bring them to mortgagesrock.com. You do a lot of the paperwork, as much of it as you can, and certainly the folks at the website will help you. And then you get the commission when the deal is done. So it kind of helps everybody out. It helps your friends and relatives, helps you, gives you some money in your pocket, and it helps the good folks at mortgagesrock.com, where making money never sounded so good. Okay, so I want to get to the Middle East stuff, but I've got to mention a couple more quick things. First of all, everybody listen to Joyce Keller Wednesday nights at 11 on WGBB. She's had a show on here for almost two decades, I think. She's the longest-running radio psychic on radio, I guess. I don't know, I guess that is kind of the thing of it's the longest-living celebrated jumping frog. It's like, okay, so it's impressive to an extent. But she's a really nice lady, and it's not so much about her doing ooh, crystal ball sort of predicting things. It's more about good advice. So check her out. Wednesday nights at 11, Joyce Keller. And Vic Fusco, 6 o'clock and 9 o'clock on Sundays. He has two different shows on here, AM 1240. He's got a swing show and a country show. I think the country show comes first, and then the swing is at 9. Either way, he's a good fella, and if you like that kind of music, definitely check it out on Sunday nights. Okay, I'll be traveling, I'll be flying incognito in kind of a little camo outfit unit, sailing my little tank across the Lebanese waters, if you can sort of imagine that. No, you're probably better off not. And I'll be back in just about a minute to talk to you. $15 an issue sounds like a lot to spend for a theater magazine. But what if every issue of that magazine were jam-packed with information, like what shows are bound for Broadway, what big stars are in town, and what shows on and off Broadway are worth seeing? What if there was a whole calendar of dance, opera, and cabaret? And what if every issue had more theater information than the New York Times, Variety, and The Hollywood Reporter put together? $15 sounds more reasonable, right? But guess what? A full year of Performing Arts Insider costs less than $14 an issue, and Dave's Gone By listeners get 10% off the subscription price, meaning you would pay just $12 an issue for all the listings, rumors, reviews, and more in Performing Arts Insider. TotalTheater.com has all the details, or call 516-295-1511 and ask about the theater magazine the professionals use and theatergoers love. Performing Arts Insider. Yes, indeed, as I said, Performing Arts Insider. There were two things I forgot to mention before the break. First is that we're also going to have a guest a bit later in the program, because I'm not the only political pundit, as it were, who's going to be weighing in on the situation in the Middle East. We also have my favorite guest on here. He's other people's favorite. He's also other people's most hated and most loathed and most, he's back again kind of a guest. But I'm always interested to hear what Rabbi Saul Solomon will have to say. Now Saul is kind of right-wingy. You know, he's slightly, a little bit to the right of, say, well, Hitler would be a wrong example, but he's kind of out there, very, very hawkish, very, very Zionist, as am I, but he has a way of putting things that tend to rub people not only the wrong way, but completely raw, bleeding, and lying on the ground screaming. So I'm always pleased to have Rabbi Saul Solomon, and he will be talking about, he's done a top 10 list. That's going to be really, really cool. He has done the top 10 reasons Israel should destroy the Arab world. Well, that'll be worth waiting for, won't it? Oh, and also, if you want to get into it with me, because now that you know sort of my leanings, now that you know that I'm basically going to be, well, you probably knew going in if you've heard this show that I'm going to be pro-Israel, but wait till you hear the things I start saying about President Bush. No, you won't be expecting that, I don't think. And about the whole situation, you might want to actually talk to me on the air. So please do. I'm going to give out the phone number, 631-888-8811. Area code 631-888-8811. And just call into the station, WGBB. I'll try and get the call on the air, and we can banter back and forth. Just keep your language clean and your thoughts clear, and hopefully we'll have a good conversation, whether you agree with me or whether you completely disagree with me. 631-888-8811. Now, yes, as promised, I'm actually going to do something that almost makes my skin crawl, will probably, if you're a Democratic New Yorker, will make your skin crawl. I'm going to say something nice about President George Bush. All right, try to collect your jaws off the floor and stop your hearts from beating out of their chests. And it's, people who have listened to the show for all these years know that this is a momentous occasion. This is a tsunami-like event in the current of Dave's Gone By. But, yeah, George has been doing all right, and somehow he's almost been stumbling into the right way of handling everything that's going on. Now, let me be clear just how much I have hated President Bush for all this time, since he was elected. I mean, I was putting this together, notes for the show, and thinking of all the bad things, all the things I hated about Bush and his administration. And I thought, okay, I mentioned a couple and get through that and then get to the good stuff I wanted. And then I started listing them. And the list took up half a damn page. No president, and I'm not even Carter, not even Nixon, not the worst, the most corrupt in the 1800s, probably had this many individual tick marks of stuff that made them so loathsome. I'll tick off a couple for you. Right down to that very first election, which he lost, okay? He lost it, but he got his brother and some other folks to swing Florida for him, and lo and behold, he won out of nowhere. So already, he was the president of a divided and angry nation. Okay, happened, he had a quiet 100 days of the, you know, took mostly vacations, and then there was 9/11, which amazingly, all the people who voted for him in that second term forgave him for, or didn't blame on him. Amazing how Karl Rove and those people spun 9/11 to make it look like it was Clinton's fault, even though Clinton had been out of office for 3 months. And so if there were any glaring deficiencies in our defense, then Condoleezza Rice and Dick Cheney and all those people kind of had a couple of weeks to sort of fire everybody and get people on board and listen to the chatter and intercept those airplanes that other countries seemed to know were coming. Ours didn't. George was reading a book about bunnies. So, 9/11. Yeah, I still kind of blame that one on him. And then, you know, moving to current times, we've got gas prices, which, think about it. You know, even oil, a failed oil man. He has all these connections. His father has all these connections in the oil and gas industry. And we wonder why during his term, gas went from what? $1.80-something a gallon to $3.20, $3.40. They just had a thing on the news or Google News or Yahoo News that it's about a quarter of a cent away from its all-time high. I didn't realize this. It actually hit the high 20 years ago, which was kind of weird. It was another gas crisis scare. It wasn't during the Carter administration. And then it went quickly back down again. But it's back within a quarter cent, and anything that happens in the Middle East this week can make it, you know, go right over and hit, I guess, however much a barrel. So, yeah, that's Georgie and his crew and you know, our good vice president who used to work for Halliburton. And health insurance, on which George Bush has done nothing. Nothing at all. I mean, Hillary Clinton may have failed as first lady to get anything going off the ground about health insurance, but A, she was not in power. She was the first lady. B, her husband was being checked left and right by Republicans who were slamming him on the whole Monica thing ridiculously. Okay, fine, she failed. And by extension, Bill Clinton failed. But George Bush hasn't even tried to do anything about the most glaring situation facing lower and middle class people and workers in America. I mean, even more so than terrorism, if you think about it. You know, 40 million people, I believe, is the number who are without health insurance and could therefore be terrorized by a flu. They're going to be terrorized by chickenpox coming around, or whatever it is. You know, I mean, this is George Bush just completely beyond him. And then let's see, there's, oh yeah, Iraq. So George Bush is certainly responsible for that. He's tried to lump that whole thing, the whole terrorism issue of Iraq in with 9/11, even though the people who bombed the Twin Towers were all from Saudi Arabia, and Iraq was really about getting back what his dad tried to do 10 years ago, and now we're stuck there. I mean, we could have gone in there, bombed the hell out of it, and then gotten out. But no, we decided to stay in, and when you do that, you kind of you take your lumps and you sit there, and you get bombed here and there, and there's this war of attrition, just the way it happened in Vietnam, although still to obviously a much lesser extent. But it's sort of like, you know, did we have to go into Iraq? Shouldn't we have gone, obviously, into Iran instead? And even now we're having troubles in Afghanistan. We thought we had that all locked, stock, and barreled. So, okay, by the way, in case you just tuned in, I'm running off the deficiencies of George Bush. It almost sounds like I'm doing that Julius Caesar thing of Brutus, of saying so-and-so's an honorable man, and then running him down into the ground and then stabbing him in the throat with a shovel. But no, honestly, I'm getting to the good thing that I want to say about Georgie boy very, very soon. And again, if you want to call in and debate me on any of this, 631-888-8811. Okay, we let Bin Laden go. Yeah, remember that? We had him. We apparently had him, British troops had him surrounded, and then we just sort of, you know, looked the other way, and he kind of got away. Why? I don't know. Is the Bin Laden family good friends with another high-placed family in America? Possibly. Is it, you know, at all kind of ridiculous that this supposedly or should have been public enemy number one still shows up on television every 2 weeks in the Arab world, and yet would go after Saddam Hussein, he became enemy number one, and got him, yippee, and somehow that became a victory when it wasn't the victory we needed to get. Okay. Oh, and speaking of which, you know, everybody's bitching this week about the blackouts and Con Ed in New York and Queens and all the stuff that's going on. And it's awful. I mean, the people are without power for a week, and they're blaming Con Ed, and they're kind of blaming the mayor for not, you know, putting the medal to Con Ed, but that's a small thing. Does anybody remember the blackout, the whole damned Northeast from a couple of years ago? How did that happen? What steps have been taken for that not to happen again? Again, we have a president who is all about energy and oil, and yet for 2 days, the Northeast was completely without power. Oh yeah, and what else about Bush? Smaller things, but equally vital. The abortion debate, on which he is wrong. I'm completely pro-choice. I say that very proudly. And he is very proud of being a religious, white, fanatic, born-again twit, whatever he is, and anti-abortion, and electing judges who are trying to swing the Supreme Court away from a woman's right to choose. Not only that, okay, abortion is a pretty controversial thing. There are people who feel as strongly as I do about women's choice, that, you know, even a little baby, little dot with blood on it is an actual living, sentient human being, and therefore it's alive and you can't kill it. Okay, that's totally wrong, but they feel that way, fine, it's controversial. But stem cell research? I mean, to take cells and work with them to try and cure and help humanity and help people like Christopher Reeve walk again, so he can get back on a horse, I guess, or help Barbaro, help a horse. You know, maybe stem cells can get him galloping again. How anybody could be opposed to this. It's not cloning, it's just research to help humanity, and Georgie Boy's against it, and probably holding up important scientific developments for 3 years while we're waiting for him to get out of office. Okay, one or two more things. See, the list is a big list of anti-George Bush things. And then there's the disappearing middle class, of which I'm sort of lower class at this point, but I come from the solid lower to middle kind of class. And that's just out of here. There's the rich, who are, of course, getting richer, and there's more of them. You know, you've got the dot-com millionaires, and the Wall Street millionaires, and like the 80s millionaires, and the old money millionaires. And then you've got the middle class, which can't pay health insurance and can't pay college tuition and, you know, has to buy two cars and can't afford one of them and has everything on credit. And then, you know, one person loses a job for 6 months and everything goes into debt and blah, blah, blah. And then people become poor or, you know, they're working for minimum wage. I mean, yes, the number of very, very rich people in this country has gone up, but exponentially so have the number of people living near the poverty line or enough over it not to be impoverished and yet to be worried forever about money and to be lacking in certain essential things that make life in America what it should be. And finally, here I am on the radio, proud to be doing my show, and I've got to talk about the FCC. You know, the Federal Communications Commission, which has had too much power for the past 7 years. I mean, it's fine if they want to regulate, you know, radio stations that are taking up too much of a signal so that other radio stations are being crowded out, or they really want to go after, you know, incredibly vile and racist and horrible speech. But to go after Janet Jackson's boob, or Open Anthony goofing about sex, or whatever, or now with fines going to be $300,000 just to say a dirty word. And George Bush signed the bill. And the funny part, I'll talk about this in a little bit. He signs the bill, and 2 weeks later, he's on microphone all over the world, including America, and he says a dirty word. I mean, how's that for incredible hypocrisy, and how's that for the absolute stupidity and money-hungriness of the FCC? Okay, so this has all got me thinking that George Bush is the worst president since Carter, worst president since Nixon, worst ever, perhaps. However, this week, he's done us proud. This week, he's been bumbling into the absolute perfect mode of behavior for what the world needs. Okay. What happened this week, of course, since actually before the week, Israel responded to the ambush and kidnapping of its soldiers, not to mention the occasional rocket bomb falling into its territory, coming from the Hezbollah, which occupies and essentially runs southern Lebanon. So what happens immediately, not even before the so-called humanitarian crisis and the refugees and all that, even before people are saying the second that Israel went in there and started battling Hezbollah, you had people saying, oh no, they've got to stop. Oh no, it's an overreaction to a kidnapping. Oh, how can Israel do this? Oh, stop them. Oh, let's get a ceasefire going. And George Bush, to his everlasting credit, was like, I think I'll have a pretzel. Or just not being there, or doing whatever else he was dealing with, or dealing with North Korea, which is another factor he's got to deal with. And not really paying attention, thank goodness, to the folks who are saying that Israel has to be reined in. You know, because again, let's face it, Israel does need America. It's a very symbiotic relationship, and yes, Israel can sometimes act of its own accord, but on a deep, deep level, Israel doesn't take a pee unless America is there to help flush. You know, and so Israel is saying, here's the way to deal with terrorists. Like, Israel is showing the world that George Bush had kind of the right idea going certainly into Afghanistan, and would have had the right idea had he gone in not to Iraq so much, but into Iran after Afghanistan and clobbered them, gotten them out of power, because if he had gotten Iran, Hezbollah would be neutralized in Lebanon, Syria would not be affected, it would be a whole different thing. Yeah, it might have been a bit more casualties on our side, a longer war in the beginnings of things, although I don't think it would have been a longer ground war after we had won and vanquished them. But Israel is saying, okay, yes, you know, when George Bush, we're demonstrating what George Bush says. We don't negotiate with terrorists. We don't deal with them. What you do is you fight them back and you try to eliminate them. So And in this case, one of the nice things about what's going on is you've got these idiots from the United Nations, these poor bleeding, you know, Norwegian humanitarians. All the people, they have no food. They have to go from southern Lebanon into middle Lebanon. Like what? Like that? Like there's less sand in southern Lebanon than middle Lebanon, and it's so much nicer down there because there's you can see water from somewhere. Okay, I mean, United Nations, and thank goodness again for this, that they are such a useless group. I mean, yeah, they commission studies, and that's fine, and they do, I guess, some good feeding work and humanitarian work. And you know, they're really good at looking the other way when, like, African nations are killing each other. Bunch of Africans running around Africa with bones in their hair and you know, pencils in their noses and chopping each other's heads off. It's just, you know, nobody gives a rat's ass in the United Nations. I mean, they might make a quiet little resolution and that's it. Israel steals a paperclip and they want to condemn Israel, and they've been doing that for 40 years. You know, because for some reason, the Arabs and that mentality, plus the anti-Semitic European countries like France and to an extent England, you know, they're also sort of any chance they get to check Israel to keep it quiet. You know, Israel, England had Palestine. They were controlling it for a little while, so they're always a little grudgy about giving it back. And France has never been terribly kind to the Jews. You know, I mean, Germany, Austria, think about it, folks. So, you know, the United Nations, thank God they're powerless and useless because they're a bunch of nattering anti-Semitic idiots. And I watched on C-SPAN for about 40 minutes, one after the other. This was a couple of days ago at the UN. These bunch of incredibly bored, tired men saying that the UN should be urgent about the whole Lebanon issue. And yet there was nothing remotely urgent about them or the way they were speaking. And then just the way that they were condemning Israel for, quote, over-aggressive response to the situation. Well, let me clue you UN guys into something. The situation, again, is that rockets were being fired into Israel. The situation is that Hezbollah, which is supported by Syria and funded by Iraq, funded by Iran, kidnapped Israeli soldiers. And by the way, it wasn't just kidnapping. In order to kidnap those soldiers, it was an ambush. They killed, like, six other guards, okay? Now, a three-member UN team visited the area a week ago to ask for the release of the soldier and support a ceasefire, but it meant nothing. We don't even hear about that. And I love how the UN speakers are always tying this in with the Palestinians and the West Bank and Gaza. And so they're like, those poor Palestinians somehow get lumped in there again. Why? Because they're in Lebanon? If the Lebanese cared so much, if Hezbollah cared so much about the poor Palestinians, let them move to Lebanon. Let them move to Syria. Let them move to all these other Arab nations. There's all this land. You know, yes, there's something like 320 million Arabs in the world. But they've got like 50 countries out there, these little baby ones like Qatar, and these big-ass stupid ones, you know, Arabia. I don't know the name of these stupid countries. But the point is, there's lots of room for Arabs in the Arab world. But no, they've got to push the Palestinians into Israel, the one place where they're not wanted, the one place that's for the Jews, the one place where they don't bloody well belong. And yet, here they are, they're tying this whole Lebanese thing in with the Palestinians, and yet it's got nothing to do with all of that. And, of course, they keep mentioning the so-called roadmap to a two-state peace that somehow will solve things. So if we have a side-by-side Palestine and a side-by-side Israel, that's going to make everything really nice and everybody's going to get along, as if the Palestinian state won't just be another place for Iraq, Syria, and Lebanon, Hezbollah, and Hamas to launch rockets into Israel, because they're even closer. So, you know, it also all goes back to this. I know we got to take a break in a minute, but why does Israel owe Palestine a state? Why do we have to give back the land we won in the 1967 war? We won it. It was a war, okay? You know, they were massing against us. We attacked, fought back, and won. We took the land. You know, if you agree that Israel should give back all that land that they took in that war, do you also agree that America should give back Texas to Mexico, because we won that in a war, and that was where we were really provocative. We started that one because we wanted land. There was no justification there at all. So, hey, get back Mexico. I think, you know, there's a bunch of states that the Indians might like. Possibly Canada might want a few things, but you can't, it's not even fair, but the Israelis are saying, yes, for the sake of peace, we'll give back the 67 land stuff, but let us keep our 1948 land. It's not as if there weren't wars between Israel and the Arabs before 1967. There was one right at the War of Independence. They didn't want to give us any land. So now that we have some, we are fighting for it. And we're fighting not only to keep it, but we're fighting to keep the bombs of Hamas and Hezbollah and all the right-wing Islamic terrorists out of it. But okay, there's more to say. You know, and I've got definitely more to say about George Bush and about this whole thing, and why I'm defending him this week and saying good things. Plus, we've got Rabbi Saul Solomon coming up later in the program. Stick with us on Dave's Gone By. We will be back right after this. I've been telling you for months why you should use Hewlett Minuteman Press for all your copying and printing needs, but here's one of the owners, Mike Toron, to tell you why.
Hi, how you doing? At Minuteman Press, our ultimate goal is service. We are your best source for the most complete line of printed products. You can check us out on the web at www.hewlett.minutemanpress.com.
If I were a rich man, I could do the Dave's Gone By show for years and years and never have to worry about money. But that's not the way things have worked out. So, I need your help. You can help me by helping yourself by advertising or sponsoring segments on Dave's Gone By. It's easy, it's cheap. Just go to davesgoneby.com and see the rate card, davesgoneby.com, and bring your message to my listeners and make us both rich. Big doll house with the roof. Yes, a very old Cure song there, Killing an Arab. Kind of a controversial song in its time because people didn't know whether it meant that killing an Arab was a good thing or a bad thing. And, of course, you know, the explanation had to be that, no, it was about the ambivalence of war and all that. Although, to me, sometimes there's not much else you can do with an Arab, especially when they behave the way they behave, the way they've been responsible for so many of the tragedies and the calamities that have been befalling the Western and Eastern world over the past 20 years. So, again, on this episode of Dave's Gone By, I'm taking the first part of the show, and I know I spent a good portion of the show so far saying horrible things about George Bush, but no, for probably the first time, I'm going to say some really good things about President Bush. And the first one is, again, he's letting Israel do what it has to do. He's waiting as long as he can. And that's not easy diplomatically, because he's not only getting pressure from the Arab governments, with which he wants to be friends and deal with and have oil dealings with, but also with the European countries, that namby-pamby, you know, Tony Blair, and with France and some of the other European countries in the world, and certainly the so-called neutral Icelanders and Norwegians and folks like that, who are all saying, go in there, get a ceasefire, do something, the poor civilians, etc., and so forth. And George is like, Israel has to do what he has to do. Israel's going after terror. And for once, his words, you know, don't ring hollow. Israel really is going after a terrorist organization. It's not about weapons of mass destruction that don't exist. You know, it's not about photo opportunities. It's about going after Hezbollah, an incredibly dangerous, vicious terrorist organization that was allowed to blossom after basically the PLO was kicked out of there by Israel. Israel left Lebanon a few years ago after occupying it all those years. And you have all those peaceniks and pacifists here and in Israel saying, oh, it's a war of attrition. Oh, what are we doing there? Oh, it's doing us no good. Let's get out of Lebanon. And that allowed Hezbollah to come into southern Lebanon and do what they've been doing over the past few years. So, again, thank you, George. As opposed to, say, Jimmy Carter, that disaster of a president who gave traction to the Palestinians, you know, thinking that we could actually, you know, deal with them, sit down with a Yasser Arafat type and make some kind of a deal. That's what Clinton felt also. And Carter said, oh, I think Carter may have been the first one to float the idea of a Palestinian state. That might have been Clinton as well. But it's just, and the thing about them, and I'm not sure about Reagan, but certainly those two, every time Israel, even though America has always stayed a friend of Israel and been on our side and given us money and been good about that, but every time Israel really looked like they were going in there to kick some ass against terrorists, against its enemies, against people who have been doing suicide bombs and other kinds of bombs and terror, Israel would do a little bit, they get some traction, they get something going, and then the United States would have to go in there and say, okay, ceasefire, gotta stop now, we're getting too many complaints, pull back, and fine. So they would, and 6 months later, the whole problem would arise again, because it's like when you shave or when you pluck your eyebrow. I mean, if you cut your eyebrow in half, it just keeps growing back. You gotta pluck the damn thing out, and that's what keeps it out. So, you know, you've gotta pluck the damn terrorists out, and if you stop Israel from doing that in the middle, it just grows back clumpier in a different way. That's about the strangest metaphor you're going to hear this week, I can tell you. And now let's talk about, you know, George Bush's way of expressing himself. That side comment out of his mouth to England's Tony Blair. You know, we wouldn't be in this mess if Syria would stop allowing what's happening in Lebanon and then Syria being so close to Iran, etc. And, yes, he said the S word, which means, I guess, because he signed that into law, we should be able to fine George Bush $325,000 for breaking the FCC penalty that he imposed. So, but I think if the president says it, then I should be able to say it too. If it comes out of his mouth and goes in a microphone all over the world, I should be able to say SH, you know, I hockey sticks, but I'm not going to, you know, because I'm not the president. I don't have those kinds of privileges. But, you know, yes. Did he look like a ridiculous kind of Texan goober, a rube, sitting there at that table with his mouth full of food, yakking with Tony Blair, going, his shirt open, his legs splayed, and saying, talking literally, shooting from the hip. But you know what? That's American. It isn't just about, you know, always the diplomatic front and looking incredibly perfect and saying just the right things, not just in a speech, but always, you know, even in person and being rehearsed down to like the umpteenth minutia. No, he's saying, all right, let's really talk about this. And maybe that makes him sound like an idiot. Maybe, as I've been saying for 5 years, he is an idiot. But that's sometimes the president you need, the Lyndon Johnson, God help us, the Ronald Reagan. That's sort of, yeah, he's got it all together in a weird kind of a way, and he's also letting it all hang out, and he doesn't care because he's the president of the most important country in the world. You know, there's a very, very good and very watchable play, a political play called Stuff Happens, that David Hare wrote. It was off-Broadway. I think it just closed, and they're going to do one more reading of it, actually in Central Park as part of Lincoln Center's thing, in September. If you haven't seen it, do try and catch it. It's called Stuff Happens, and it tries to imagine, using some real dialogue and a lot of it imagined, of how the whole lead-up to Iraq happened. And the characters in the play are George Bush, Condi Rice, Dick Cheney, Dominique de Villepin from France, and Tony Blair, and all these people. And absolutely fascinating, and just plain old good theater, even if you get away from the politics of it all. And they make George Bush like this sort of scary, dumb hick who got into position just by being a sort of, you know, a bully with really good, with great political instincts, but still a stupid bully who's choosing to follow all the wrong motives and all the wrong reasons and elbowing people with consciences away from their consciences, which, okay, is kind of true. And you can see that here in that little clip of the real President Bush out there just sort of, you know, jawing with Tony Blair and then going up to that German chancellor and giving her that neck rub. But you know what? This is, in some ways, the president we want to see sometimes. The guy who says, okay, you know, I am the 800-pound gorilla in the room. I know that. I like that. So, you know, and the mic was on. He didn't realize, ooh, the mic was on. So he talked with his mouth full, and I picked up what he said to Blair. Well, first of all, what he said to Blair was terrific. He was saying, you know, if Syria wasn't involved in this, if Iran wasn't involved in this, you know, it's all about that. And let Israel do what it's got to do. You know, instead of hearing Blair and his ridiculous pro-Palestinian conciliation and all that. And then even that hands-on thing, that massage of Angela Merkel from Germany. Yeah, he may have meant it to be kind of friendly and nice, and it looked sexist, and it looked like world power trying to, you know, show how powerful he is over a lesser power. But that's okay if you're an American. It's saying, I'm America, you're in Germany, and all of you are little European pissant countries. I mean, you think you're so important with your euros and your little economies, but I am still the 8-million-pound gorilla, and you know it. And he can strut around the room. You know, and this makes up for that time, you know, they showed him not being able to find the door. I guess it was in Japan. You remember that video where he's walking back and forth and tries to open a wall? Okay, that's our president. But here, he's being the president we need him to be. Shoot from the hip, shoot from the lip, as long as he's on the right side of things. Now, maybe he believes in all this because he believes, again, as a right-wing, born-again Christian, that end times are coming, and all that kind of nonsense, and we need Israel there so that when Jesus comes, there'll be a place for all the good Christians to go. I don't know. Whatever it is, he's letting Israel do his thing, its thing, as long as he can. He's giving Condoleezza the right directions. You know, she's going to be going there not to say ceasefire, bad Israel. She's going there to push Syria away from Iran, which would be a very nice thing. So, yeah, for once, for this week, and it may change in a day, it may change in a week, but I am proud of our president. My gosh. You don't know what it cost me to say that on the air with so many people listening. Well, 5 people listening, who knows how many people are out there. But anyway, that's my spiel. I'm trying to be relatively moderate, but wait till you hear my next guest, Rabbi Saul Solomon. Yes, he's been on here before. He's the leader of Temple Sons of Bitches in Great Neck, New York, and he has his own thoughts. In fact, he's codified it into a top 10 list about the whole Lebanese situation, the whole Israel-Arab situation, that we're going to hear right after this. Dave's Gone By listeners know I love a good play on words. But let me say a good word on plays, my plays, collected in a lovely book called Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World. Comedies that range from strange to deranged, from sad to satirical, fun to read, and unmistakably Dave. Just $20 hardcover, $12 soft. Put down that crappy bestseller and pick up some laughs. 516-295-1511 or davesgoneby.com. Shalom! Shalom! God damn it, shalom! This is Rabbi Saul Solomon of Temple Sons of Bitches in Great Neck, New York. And I am excited to be on this special episode of the Dave's Gone By program, in which we finally give those goddamn warmongering Arabs a piece of our minds. Sons of bitches! Animals with beards! Excrement under a turban! They think they can fire rocket after rocket into Israel with impunity? Or is it without impunity? No, it's with impunity. They are very puned. And they think that they can kidnap a couple of soldiers and use them as hostage bait? They think they can get all these weapons from Iran and Syria and not have anybody notice? No siree, bubby! Hezbollah Arab scum, you fired one Katyusha too many, and now you're going to get it in the katukas. And God bless President Bush, he may talk with his mouth full, but it's a mouth full of truth and dim sum. But he knew where to put the blame. He wasn't listening to the usual bullcrap spiel of these so-called world leaders. Ooh, humanitarian crisis. Ooh, overreaction. Ooh, they're bringing down the Lebanon democracy. What Lebanon democracy? A terrorist mob on the border that sprang up after Israel drove out the PLO? I will tell you one thing. In the 20 years that Israel was occupying southern Lebanon, we weren't taking this crap from Koran-reading rodents. And as President Bush said, this is not about Lebanon, a country that has proved as useless as boobs on a bagel. This is about Syria. This is about Iran. This is about Hezbollah. The same bunch of diarrhea-colored sand monkeys who blew up the American embassies and marine barracks in 1982. So, civilians are getting killed in Lebanon. Well, when don't civilians get killed in a war? And when your enemy is firing missiles off a Volvo parked next to a house, by the time you get there, the Volvo has driven away. The house is still there, so what can you do? I'll tell you what you do. You bomb the goddamn house. And if the neighbors start screaming and cracking and bitching, oh, how can you do this? You say, schmucks, how can you live among terrorists? Remember Sam Kinison and the Ethiopian shtick he did? Now, why don't you move where the food is? Well, why don't they move where the humans are? What did you think? Living next door, those bearded putzes with the prayer mats and the rocket launchers, they were a bowling team? Ugh. I get so worked up over these Arab bastards, it gives me the heartburn, the headburn, the assburn. If I still had a prostate, that would burn too. The only thing that gets me through all this mishigas is being able to laugh. That catharsis, that healthy release, the kind you can only get from making vicious fun of the people you despise. Which is why I'm going to take a page from the David Letterman show and offer a top 10 list. Now, I checked with my lawyer. It's okay for me to do this. I don't think CBS can copyright a numbered list. Otherwise, who could go shopping? So, yes, the Rebbe is here with a special wartime top 10 list. Rabbi Saul Solomon's top 10 reasons Israel should destroy the entire Arab world and every filthy thing in it. Die, 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 you sons of bitches, die. Well, I don't have Paul Schaefer here, so you'll just have to use your imagination and imagine a strange-looking bald Jew laughing like an idiot. All right, enough stalling. Rabbi Saul Solomon's top 10 reasons Israel should destroy the entire Arab world and every filthy thing in it. Die, 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 you sons of bitches, die, whatever. Number 10. Everybody there wears a shmata. The women, the men, you take the shmatas off the women, they look like the men. You take the schmatas off the men, they look like camels. Number 9. Throughout history, the Arabs have never been able to live in a civilized way with the rest of society, like the Baldwins. Or think of Naomi Campbell and multiply by 300 million. Number 8. You want to see sand? Go play in a sandbox. You want to see a real country? Get the hell out of a poop hole like Lebanon and go visit Queens. Number 7. Here is the biggest difference between America and Arabia. America's biggest television star, Ryan Seacrest. Arabia's biggest TV star, Bin Laden. Okay, maybe they got the more charismatic one, but still. Number 6. If we invade all the Arab countries and force them to dress like us, none of us will ever have to buy another towel again. Reason number 5, why Israel should destroy the Arab world and every filthy thing in it. If Israel beats the Arabs, the cost of crude oil will drop from $75 a barrel to $15 a barrel, which means the price of gas at an Exxon pump will also go down from $3.40 a gallon to $3.38 a gallon. Number 4, we shouldn't feel bad about exiling the Lebanese because the Lebanese make it more difficult for nice young men to find wives and girlfriends. Oh, no, wait, not Lebanese. That's lesbians. My mistake. Okay, here's a different number 4. Number 4, religious leaders in the Arab world are called sheikhs. And everyone knows sheikhs are fattening and bad for you. Number 3. There is an unfair imbalance of physical skill between Arabs and Jews. A dozen Arabs flew airplanes into the World Trade Center and the Pentagon, demolishing downtown Manhattan and killing 3,000 innocent people, all by carrying a pair of box cutters. Jews don't even know how to use box cutters to cut boxes! Reason number 2, why Israel should wipe out their Semitic brothers. The Arabs want everything that the Jews have, right? Fine. The Jews had a Holocaust and a diaspora. Arabs, come and get it. And finally, the top 10th reason, better known as number 1, every day we are all bombarded with email, snail mail, voicemail, and junk mail. Can't we at least draw the line at Ishmael? Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you, Paul. And I just want to close by saying, go, Israel. On the ground, in the air, in the water, up the Tuchus, get those terrorists out of the Middle East, each and every one. And America, stay out, unless you're giving us more weapons to get the job done. And Tony Blair, shut your cockney pie hole. United Nations, go back to sleep. Syria, you're next. Iran, watch your back. And Mandy Patinkin, I still hate you! And so, my friends, on behalf of my dear wife Miriam Libby and our children, Nehemiah, Josiah, Shloimi, Chana, Rivki, Yehuda, Moish, Yecheskel, Boruch, Avigdor, Yisroel, Hephzibah, Shaul, Eliza, Shimon, Gedalia, Naphtali, Fred, by my first marriage, Baby Beryl, not to be confused with the Hurricane Beryl, unless you've seen her diaper, and the fetus Cletus. This is Rabbi Saul Solomon, wishing you a good and productive war with lots of bad guys dying, good guys winning, and 300 million riderless camels. Shalom uvracha. I need more Dave! Oh, I hear that all the time. Once a week is not enough, but you can get all the Dave you want on CD. Dozens of complete episodes, just $14 per disc, shipping and handling included. And one more dollar for a personal autograph. Dave's Gone By CDs come with jewel cases, photos, liner notes, makes a great gift. So, for more info, check our website or email davesgoneby@aol.com and ask for the CD list. Thanks, Dave!
Hi, this is playwright Michael Weller. You're listening to Dave's Gone By on WGBB. Nice to talk to you, Dave.
And it was nice to talk to Michael Weller a few months ago. And it's been nice talking to you and at you, all the folks listening to the program. And I hope you've heard only sort of somewhat radical, and I don't think mine were quite as radical views as Rabbi Saul Solomon on the whole Israel situation, but certainly stuff to think about and talk about, and hopefully something to counterbalance all the people you're going to hear from the UN and in the media this week saying, okay, you know, ceasefire, ceasefire, ceasefire. No, not ceasefire. Victory, then ceasefire. Hey, I wanted to do a couple of other things before I get through with this episode of Dave's Gone By. I want to thank a bunch of people who emailed me after last week's show and gave me condolences about the loss of my cousin Karen. She's the cousin who died out in California last week. She'd been sick for many years with all different things, but was so vital and so lively that she overcame pretty much every ailment, from tumors to legal blindness. I mean, she didn't overcome it. She lived with it and lived through it and still lived. So she was an amazing woman, and I got some nice emails. McCall Jeffers wrote in to say, "Hi, David. So sorry to read about your cousin Karen. I always get such a kick out of reading your updates about the show, but this time it's mingled with sadness, too. I know Karen felt blessed to have you in her life, and I'm sure your whole family is proud of what a creative dynamo they have in their gene pool." Yeah. Think again, McCall. Anyway, thank you, McCall. Mary Shen Barnage, a critic out in Chicago, good friend, said, "Sorry to hear about your cousin, but gardez le sourire, Davy. The Grim Reaper's got a sense of humor, too. Well, with his job, he's got to, and so with ours." Gardez le sourire, I think, means remember to smile. Sam Gunsler, an actor friend of mine, said, "Dave, we're really sorry to hear about your cousin. My composer friend Bob McDowell fought and lost last September, and so it's hard for everyone. Hope the rest of the family's okay. Yours, Allison and Sam." Christine Lavin, one of my very, very favorite guests on the show of all time, and hopefully we're going to get her back here real soon, because in early August she's going to be playing in Bayshore, not too far from where the studios are. Christine says, "Hey, Dave, so sorry to hear about your cousin. Yes, the world has gone mad, and sometimes I think the ones who leave early are getting the better end of the deal. But we soldier on. Take care, Chris." Thanks, Christine. Thank you to Bonnie D. Graham. She's on 6 o'clock on Friday nights on WGBB, doing Long Island's Dating. She says, "David, please accept my sincere condolences on your loss." Eva Heinemann, who was on our Tony show, said, "I'm so sorry to hear about your cousin. For some reason, cancer is on the rise again. Two of my friends just got diagnosed with breast cancer, and my co-host, Raina's mom, just got diagnosed with cancer as well." She also mentions, I did a tribute to Red Buttons. She said she loved him as well. "He hugged me once when he performed at the Concord. I just had to see him afterwards. I love his Sam, You Made the Pants Too Long, with apologies to Mandy Patinkin's version." Well, don't mention Mandy around Rabbi Saul Solomon, but thank you, Eva. So, before I forget, on the heels of the bad news in the world, and also with my cousin, lovely news. It always happens like this. Congratulations to another cousin of mine, my cousin Adam, who just got engaged to his longtime girlfriend, Marnie. So, many, many mazels. They've been together a couple of years, and they both seem really, really cool. I think they'll get along great. Okay, last quick thank yous to Hewlett Minuteman Press, the Copy Kings, and to Performing Arts Insider Theater Magazine. Please go to my website, davesgoneby.org, to find out how you can get discounts at both of those wonderful organizations. Also, thanks to MortgagesRock.com, where making money never sounded so good. I want to give a shout-out to Jeff Goodman, who's been here almost every week the past few weeks, but he was in Vegas this week, and I guess he's resting up, but I haven't heard from him. I hope he didn't lose everything, and if he did, that means you have to help support him. So go to Fancy Schmancy Balloons for your party and catering kind of needs, because he runs that. And thank you to my wonderful and beloved and adorable wife, Joyce, as ever and always. A reminder to catch a vintage episode of Dave's Gone By Saturday nights at 11 on DFSX Radio. Again, you can click and listen from my website, davesgoneby.org. And I've put some stuff, some links to archives on my website at other sites where there are interviews. So you can hear my two-hour blues stint on WUSB-FM. That's there. You can just click and listen to the whole 2 hours, including some original songs and some very non-original songs, Also, a couple of interviews that I did, or I was on a show hosted by Mike Shimeri on WCWP, and those archives you can also listen to. Anyway, as far as new shows go, I'll be back with a new one next Sunday at 11, the 182nd edition of Days Gone By. Until then, don't miss your days going by. Good night, good shooting, Israel, and gone by.